Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, and usually we might play the Masters theme music right about now. It's Monday morning, you're waking up. If typically you would be heading to work, your mind would be elsewhere. It would be in Augusta, preparing for golf fans' top two or three favorite week of the year. I understand that. I am the exact same way. I was supposed to be flying to Augusta on Monday and had some things to do and was going to go out to the tournament. And really, just it's a part of my year that is extremely special. While I'm not broadcasting it and it's not the U.S. Open, I feel like you get to see a lot of friends and you see a lot of faces and you chat with some people that you really only get a chance to chat with during that week. And of course, with everything going on, that's not going to happen. And while our thoughts are with everyone dealing with everything that we are facing currently, of course, as a golf podcast and as a golf fan, you know, we're bummed out that there's no Masters. And that is what today's podcast is about. I had my friend Scott Van Pelt of ESPN, who is there covering it every single year, jump on. Normally we do this podcast and we're talking about conditions and the way the greens are playing and who's in form and can Tiger win another one, and all of those questions roll out. And of course, none of that did, but it was a good conversation. It was a fun conversation. Scott is one of my favorite people in all of sports media. And we went long. We broke down our five favorite Masters ever at the end of the podcast. So stick around for that. And just simply a couple guys talking about something that they're going to miss that's a big part of their lives, and that is the Masters Tournament at Augusta National, and that is what today is. So just hoping everybody's out there staying safe and smart and healthy and following guidelines and protocol. I am doing that. We're hunkered down at the house, and I'm washing my hands so much that they're cracking. I've got the knuckle crack going, so I've been over-lotioning the hands now, because I'm overwashing the hands to stay safe. This is what happens in 2020, apparently. This is what we deal with. But just a reminder that I've got another podcast with Max Homa called Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, and that will roll out on Monday as well. And of course, we will chat about Max and what he thought would be his first trip to Augusta National and his first Masters, and plenty of other shenanigans that we will figure out when we figure it out. Big thanks for following and for listening and subscribing. You can follow at the Clubhouse Pod on Twitter and on Instagram, and we continually give out stuff over there, so make sure you do that. Let's get to our guest. Well, we welcome back into the Clubhouse Scott Van Pelt. And Scott, normally this calls on a Monday. You may or may not be breaking Augusta National cell phone protocol and policy, talking to me about the week that is and excitement happening around the golf world. And yet we sit here at our respective homes across the country. And it's a bummer, man. I mean, there's so many things that are a bummer about what's happening right now. But, you know, the Masters is this thing that we have circled every single year. And, of course, now it's Masters Week with no golf to be had.
It's really, really difficult to not be there this week. And, I mean, I'll say this at the very beginning, and then I'm not going to say it again. Obviously, this is framed by what's going on and what is, you know, clearly more serious, and that's the health of people across the country and people that are losing jobs. And we understand all those, because two things could be true at once. We can be concerned about that and at the same time be really bummed out about what we would be doing in the absence of this pandemic, which is being at Augusta and enjoying this week. And it is, Shane, it's my favorite week of the year. And this is my 20th year at ESPN. I've been there every single year since I've been with ESPN. And so to not be there is, I mean, awe doesn't begin to do it justice. It's just, it's really, really impossible to process, frankly.
Yeah, I was going to ask how many you've been to in a row. I mean, dating back to Golf Channel, did you get to go back in the Golf Channel days, or did all that start at ESPN?
No, my first one was 97, which was a good one to make your debut at. We showed up and this is how they do it here. That was the first one, and I missed. It wasn't at O'Mara's in 98, but I want to say I think it's been every one but one since 97. I honestly don't remember. I just know that ever since, you know, ever since the I started with ESPN, I know for a fact it's been all of those. So, I mean, and it's been, you know, I've been really fortunate, I think, in terms of the job descriptions there. I've kind of done every bit of it, whether it's being the on the ground reporter who's doing the interviews post round, whether it's being in, you know, it used to be over at Augusta Country Club where we initially had our setup where we were doing Sports Center stuff. And then obviously when Mike Tirico took the job with NBC, then I slid into the Butler cabin and done some stuff there. So, I mean, I've had a great opportunity to have some of the variety of covering the event. But I mean, let's be honest, whatever your job is, if you're on the grounds, just to be there for the week is just such a treat. And it's one that, as I say, it's what we look forward to all year long.
Yeah. I mean, it's really across the board. I mean, you said it, it is, if you're in the broadcasting space this week, it's an unbelievable experience and you cannot wait to get there. If you're a writer, it's a big week to really kind of propel your stories on the front page, not just of the sports page, but potentially on the front page of news if Tiger or somebody got in the hunt and had a chance to win. And I always feel like for the golfers, I mean, for the guys that are playing, all of the weeks matter, sure, but you know this one matters a lot more for the players, especially the events they have played leading up to Augusta National. So universally, it's just one of those where I went to my iPhone app on Wednesday of last week and deleted Masters scheduling for the week. It was one of those, as I'm hitting delete event, I just wanted to take a moment, go for a walk, or just go sit outside in the backyard because I couldn't believe that this was actually happening. You've talked a lot about the Masters with me over the years and how important of a week it is for you personally. When you got the call the first time to go work the Masters tournament, you know, this thing circled on every golf and every sports fan's calendar, what was it like for you personally and professionally knowing now this was always going to be something you've done?
Well, it represents something on the, as you say correctly, on the calendar that, you know, is, it's a legend maker. Right. I mean, if you're Larry Mize and you're going to have one moment in your career, and he had more than one, but if you're going to have one moment, make it on the 11th hole against Greg Norman in your hometown.
It's a good one.
And make it an all time moment. And so going to a place like that where, you know, that history is made every year, as Phil Mickelson says correctly, and to think that you're going to get a chance to be part of covering it, it was obviously going to be a big deal. And then it turned into something far more than that. It became truly historic as a newsmaking event because Tiger won it. And then getting a chance to sit down and talk to him about it after the fact. And then that interview really helped propel, you're right what you say. I mean, it propelled my career. Without him winning in 97 and having a chance to sit down with him after the fact and him giving me the time he gave me and being as great as he was in that interview, I don't think my career rises on in the way that it did. So, I mean, he was the tide that lifted all boats, and I was just one of those boats. So I didn't know when I got to go there, you know, that it would be that, but that's every bit of what it was.
I remember my first Masters covering it. I was writing, I believe, for CBS Sports at the time, and just arriving, and while you're on eggshells because you don't want to do anything wrong to possibly lose your credential or your badge. At the same time, you know, every single year I've gone since, it is, what are the azaleas going to look at when I get there? What's the golf course going to play like? What's the new merch? I mean, there are all of these little checklists that I think are a little forgotten. That's just for people that get a chance to go. What are you and your team planning this week in terms of quote-unquote coverage of the Masters, look-backs on past tournaments and events? What are you guys going to do to kind of keep this theme going despite not having an actual live tournament?
Well, we're going to talk to Jack. Always, I think any Masters list begins with Jack because he's Jack. We're going to have a conversation, I know, with Bubba, because we're doing primetime broadcasts of events that are of past Masters, and we're going to talk to Bubba as well. And it's funny, you think about that shot when the Pines try on 10 and you know, like, again, a legend maker. We are going to talk to Jim Nantz, I believe, Monday That's the goal anyway, but it's really dependent upon his schedule. And I mean, talk about a guy that has the greatest week every year. I mean, he called a national title game on a Monday night, and you're calling the Masters champion the following Sunday, and that would have been an easy drive from Atlanta. I mean, my heart breaks for Jim for his week. We've got some other feelers out. I mean, I threw it out to Tiger. It's always a matter of, you know, if he's got the time or if he's even interested isn't even the right word, because I mean, it's just a matter of, does he, you know, you want to sit down and talk about this, because I'm sure he's pumped out. You know, I mean, I think it means different things to different people, but it's all some version of the same thing, which is how much do you miss it? But it'll be, you know, primetime coverage of the event, you know, and I think I found myself watching the women's amateur over the weekend. I just enjoyed, and by the way, they played great, but you just want to see people hit shots on the holes. That,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? You just want to see it. You want to more than any other golf course in the world, just seeing it's the only course where the course is the only event rather where the course is the star. Truly the course is the star. And so, I mean, I guess throughout the week, we'll have the course on TV if you want to watch it. If it's too painful, I get that too. You're out here deleting apps. I get it, man. You just don't want to see that phone number pop up on your phone and see that ex's name, I guess. You just want it to be a number. And you're like, I don't know who that is. I'm not answering that call.
You brought up Tiger, and this was something that I was discussing with a buddy just yesterday. And you say bummer. And again, you already said it, and I'm going to say it to start this podcast. This is very, very small potatoes in terms of what's going on. But for Tiger Woods, you know, he's 44 years old. He turns 45 at the end of this year. Of course, he wins this thing last year, and it was an unreal moment. And I'm going to ask you for your five favorite Masters a little bit later. And I'm assuming 2019 is probably going to sneak in there somewhere. But for Tiger Woods, all of the things he's accomplished, all the stuff he's done in his lifetime, to miss a Masters potentially, now we don't really know what the schedule is going to be like for the rest of this year and maybe October, maybe November. Obviously, the rumors have swirled around. But for Tiger to miss a Masters, a regular Masters, is a huge letdown for the guy because he doesn't have a whole bunch of years left to go out there and possibly get another green jacket.
No, you're right. And I felt the same way for Federer and for Serena with Wimbledon. And that's more definitive because that's canceled. You know, that's not postponed. That's canceled. And it's a little different, obviously, in golf. You can go longer. And for Federer and Serena, it's that time is really getting short for them. But if you didn't have the Masters, then clearly for Tiger, you're like, how many more are there where you really truly can say that he's got a legitimate shot? Not many. I mean, not 10, not maybe 5. That's a lot too, if we're being honest. So, who knows, given the fact that his back had been acting up and if it turned into a fall deal, maybe that actually benefits him in some way. You know, of course it could be cooler than yada yada, but just in the grand scheme, just the idea for anybody that whose age starts with a 4, whose back is fused, you want as many clean cracks at it as you can get. And this one is, for the moment, it's a question mark. We don't know.
Yeah. What's been the event? I'm assuming we're going to both throw the Masters out because you've already said it's your favorite week of the year. And I'm a little bit of a golf nerd. I don't know if you knew this or not. And the Masters is one of my favorite couch weeks of the year, or if I'm somewhere in and around Augusta, just one of my favorite events to be around. What's been the one that has bummed you out the most? And you're a guy that gets to cover everything. I mean, you talk about every single sport, high school, college, pro, everything. What's been the event that you've either already missed or is coming up that's going to be missed or possibly canceled that's really bummed you out as a sports fan?
It's not close. I mean, like the Masters is different because it's so personal. And so that's brutal. But the as much as that week being put on pause for now, I'm still hopeful that it's a fall deal. The NCAA tournament not being played is you can never reconcile that. I mean, I root for Maryland. I don't think that's any great closely held secret. And they were pretty good. I mean, they want to share the Big Ten. I don't know. They'd have probably been a 3 seed, maybe a 4 seed, maybe a 2 if they won the Big Ten, whatever it is. They were one of those teams that had a shot to get to Atlanta. And, you know, their senior point guard is gone. Their sophomore big man, Jalen Smith, I presume, is going to go pro. So that means that that you'll never get a chance to see that team. And you know, Kansas fans are going, you know, hey, we were really good. Of course, they were number one. And Michigan State fans and Gonzaga fans and, you know, Duke fans. I can keep going. There's any college team out there that had a shot is thinking we could have made it to Atlanta. And by the way, any of these teams could have lost in the first round too. Dayton, my God, they had the best year they've ever had. So, you know, that tournament not being played is just crushing to me because it's my favorite 3-week event of the year. And, I mean, it's just never going to be. I just don't know how you ever make that make sense.
Yeah, I went to Arizona, Scott, and I think this might be the first year since maybe the year after I graduated where I was actually okay with the tournament not happening because this team was, I was going so nuts with this basketball team and program and coaching and last 5 minutes. And of course, the tournament being canceled was a massive bummer as a sports fan and somebody that likes to do a bracket and keep up with it for a couple of weeks. But as a personal Arizona fan, I didn't think we were going to have much of a run. I didn't think our chances were that great to do stuff that maybe some of the other teams have been talked into from experts and others alike.
You guys are actually a fascinating case study because analytically, they really liked you a lot. Like there are a number of different sort of models that really would really favored Arizona. And then the fact that they'd lost a bunch of games put them on, you know, the bracketologist seed lines that were lower, which would have made for a very interesting situation because you guys might have been seeded lower than the kind of predictive models would have suggested, which might have indicated, Shane, that maybe you guys would have been ready for a run. You never know. But see, that's the thing. You don't know and you'll never know. And that's the part that just is crushing to me is like, me and none of us will ever know. And that just sucks.
Yeah, well, something you did that I love and something you really do with your show that I've always been impressed by and something I try to, you know, if this is a compliment, I try to mimic a bit is you have always tried to spin stuff positively. I feel like with Bad Beats is a fun segment. It highlights a negative, but I feel like you turn it into a positive because you have so much fun with it. I mean, you're laughing about it. It's a bad gambling moment, but of course,
it's all you can do.
That's what I'm saying. And that's something you've done so well. One thing you did and you asked right away about were stories of young players that weren't going to be able to fulfill high school, college, whatever. And you wanted to highlight those players. How was that in terms of getting a chance to dive into stories that you wouldn't have followed otherwise?
It's been amazing, man. I've been really, 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 really lucky in my career. I think that's something I've shared with you through the years, just being grateful for all of it. And Augusta's part of it. There's a lot of things that are part of it. You know, the things I get to do, and I'm thankful for all of it. The senior night segments that we've done has been something I'll always remember as the one positive out of this giant negative. Because what had happened is we asked for people to share with us the stories of the high school kids and teams and college kids and teams that had their seasons just abruptly end. And I've learned about these places and these teams in small towns in Wisconsin and Indiana and Arkansas. I'm just thinking out loud. There's a girl named McKenna, and I can't think of her last name, in Arkansas, who was in the ICU as a sophomore, had this rare kidney issue, and like she's on touch and go. And then she got out of the hospital. She got better. And by the time she's a senior, she's an all-state player, and they're going to play for a state title. And it's like, well, all right. I never would have known that this gal McKenna out in Arkansas is this great player who's getting ready to go to Central Missouri. I want to say it is on a basketball scholarship. Well, I found out about her story because I asked people to share them with me. And so it's lacrosse players and soccer players and baseball players and swimmers and the equestrian team at TCU and all these different people. I mean, coast to coast, man. And we've tried our best to try to represent, you know, men and women, small and big, like just because the mosaic of their stories tells the story of our country and how much sports matter and how proud people are of the teams in their communities. And I've just been moved by it. And I've been moved by how much it meant to them. We've heard from so many of their coaches and communities that they're appreciative that they just, like somebody forwarded me an article from the Goshen something in Indiana, the paper there, and just the kids were saying like how cool it was to hear their name said on SportsCenter. And you're like, you know what this is, that what we do. I mean, we don't take it particularly seriously, but like these mics are on and people listen, and it matters in those communities to feel like they're getting some love and they're being seen, right? And so being able to be the guy sitting there saying, hey, man, I see you out there in Indiana doing your thing, and in Kentucky and Georgia and South Carolina, I could just every state in the union, we've done something from as many as we could. We're going to do it this week. And then I think we're going to stop because at some point, you know, I'm not going to get to everybody. And then it becomes like when Phil stops and signs autographs, and it's like you sign for as many as you can, and then the five people you don't sign for think you suck because you didn't sign for them.
Right. Right. Yeah. You're the bad guy. All of a sudden, you're a bad guy.
We can never get to all of them, and I think that we will have done by then. I don't even know how many, but my hope is that what we can do is when we're done, we can kind of almost put together a list of the teams and the schools that have been mentioned and just, I don't know, put it all in one place or something. I don't know. I just, just to remember it by, because when the bigger schools start playing again and the pros start playing again, these stories that are so worthy will drift back to, you know, a place that I won't see. And, I've been moved by the fact that what we've done has mattered, and I've been grateful to be the one who got to share the stories that people shared with us.
I remember when I was younger in high school, you know, I got Sports Illustrated, I would read Faces in the Crowd. It's like you brought
Always.
Faces to TV, and I think that's been something cool. I've got a segment idea. I was going to bring this up to you not on the podcast, but I figure at least if I bring it up to you on the podcast, you have to like act somewhat interested. You know what I mean? You've got to at least nod and acknowledge my either.
It's a lousy idea. I'll just blow it up.
Yeah, that's fine.
Probably
just,
won't be.
Just skip right past. All right. So here's my idea. Going back to what we were talking about, being positive, is something loosely titled "Nice Gestures in Sports" or "We Can Be Nice Sometimes." And it's basically you every night dive in for 3 to 5 minutes on a story about an athlete doing something unbelievably nice within their sport. This isn't, you know, philanthropy. This isn't going out and starting a foundation. This is on the court. Let me give you an example, Scott. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm thinking here, okay? Are you ready for this? Because I think you're going to like
listening.
It. All right. Andy Roddick. You remember Andy Roddick? He was great.
Of course.
Back at the 2005 Rome Masters round of 16, he was just taking it to Verdasco. He was just beating the swooshes off the guy. He's up a set. He's up a break. Andy Roddick's going to win. Linesman calls a serve in to win the match, and Roddick says no, it was out. It was a Roddick serve. He calls it out on himself, goes on to lose the match. He wouldn't go shake hands. He said, nope, no, that was not good. It was out. I'm going to be the good human being that I am. And he ends up losing that match, but that was him being a good fellow, a good person within his sport, in between the lines. I'll give you another one. I got one more. It's golf related. You ready for it?
Uh-huh.
All right. See, I can tell you're mildly interested. Mildly is you're probably, what's the second Taco Bell sauce? Is it mild? Is it medium mild or mild medium?
I don't go sauce there. I just eat stuff raw. I don't know.
You don't go with Taco Bell sauce?
I don't go sauces. No sauces.
Oh, the fire. It's just,
I'm an odd dude. I'm an odd eater, man. This is going to take us to a strange place here with the, I don't need at Chick-fil-A, no sauce for the nuggets. Just eat
it. Wow. What do you do with fries?
I need, if it's like the drive-through order, I don't put ketchup on them. I mean, where the hell do you put it?
Well, the Chick-fil-A has those professional dipping ketchup packets now, don't
Correct.
They? Yeah,
they
those
do.
Things are
they
next
do.
Level. But
they do. But I just, but Chick-fil-A nugget is a perfectly engineered food already. There needs to be nothing put on it because all it does is interfere with the flavor of the Chick-fil-A nugget.
And anti-condiments. I didn't picture you as a guy no dipping at all. Get out of my face with that. It's probably actually probably a smart thing to do right now during our current state is not dipping sauces.
Yeah, right.
I can not only add imagine anything that, to it. That is germ infested. All right. The other this is a golf related one. 99 Ryder Cup, of course, craziness, you know, pandemonium on the 17th hole. People forget right. Payne Stewart was playing Colin Montgomery. Last hole, Payne Stewart walks over, picks up Monty's mark, and Payne actually lost that match one down. That was for the half, basically, and he picked the mark up and said it was good and shook his hand and said Monty'd been getting, you know, crap all week long from the American fans. But that was, again, in between the ropes, does something nice for somebody, and it cost him, you know, a point for his Ryder Cup. It cost Roddick a match. But that is my pitch to you. Nice gestures for athletes actually within their sport, not the stuff they do outside of it.
It's like it's along the lines of that ad, that sportsmanship ad where the kid says the ball went out of bounds off the other guy. And he says, no, coach, you went off me. And then they give the ball to the other team. So it's like that. I get it. I'm all for anything that's positive. I'm definitely that. Here's my question: who is curating this? Who's helping me find these? Because going through this text, the tweet chain of these people sending in the senior night things has become like an all encompassing job. So I'm going to have to go through the history of sports to find these moments.
It won't take you that long. It's just a couple nuggets. You can just get like a 12 piece and you'll be good to go. Just ram right through it. And then here you go. No sauces, not to get your fingers sticky on the laptop.
When we move on from senior night, we'll move on to these. We can be nice sometimes. And then in parentheses, by Shane Bake.
You can say, I have this idiot friend that I know, and he suggested this terrible idea. And now I've had to scour the world of all sport in the history of sports being around. How often are you checking your phone a day still and then realize that there's no scores to look at?
No, that's for a while it happened, but now you realize, you know, it's just every day is the same. Like somebody, my boss was saying, hey, we're probably going to do some Sundays now with this Bulls documentary coming out, The Last Dance. I'm like, who cares? Like weekends aren't weekends. No days don't matter. Every day is the same version of the day before. We're just trying to get from lunch to nap and nap to dinner to bath and bath to bed. Just repeat. That's it.
It is wild how, so my, I have one son, he's 10 months old, and I just look at him at times and I think, God, he must think I am so boring because I don't do any of the stuff we used to do. You know, I don't take him out to the golf course. You know, we don't go, I got this hiking backpack for him. We went hiking a couple times, didn't last very long. He lost his mind after a few hundred yards, but it was a thought that counts. Now it's what time's the first walk, what time's the second walk, and maybe we'll be on a bike ride. And there are moments where his beautiful baby eyes will look at me and I think, God, he must think that this is just that we are the lamest parents in the world. And I wish I could explain to him what's actually going on.
Well, it'll be a hell of a story to tell when he's older. And hopefully this is, you know, something that's in our rear view. Although I really do wonder, you know, what from our past is going to stay in our past in terms of things that no longer happen, things we don't do anymore. Isn't it odd? Like if you see some game where there's just people packed in side by side, you're like, well, when's that going to happen?
Right.
When are people going like elbow to elbow in you know, some tight packed stadium? Like, well, I don't know when that's happening.
And when are you going to feel, I keep saying, when are you going to feel comfortable to be in that situation? That's the thing that I find, you know, as someone that now, you know, your mindset, at least mine, week to week is changing. So the stuff I did 2 weeks ago, now I look back on and I go, well, that was stupid. I can't believe I did that. And of course, at the time, that was protocol. That was what we were supposed to do, or that was what we were allowed to do. I will say about golf that, you know, in Arizona, you can still play golf and you social distance and you keep yourself away. And I'm not playing much, but I've played a couple of rounds. I like the leave the flag in and you don't have to help anyone else out, because golf's pretty, you know, you're pretty selfish when you play golf to begin with. And now it's when you putt out, you can go to your bag, to your push cart, to the cart that you're in alone and do your business, clean your club, do whatever you want. There's no being the nice guy on the putting green to help the guy out with his towel or to put the flag stick back in. It's a little bit more insular, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, in all seriousness, like, I think U.S. when will I feel comfortable? I'm going to feel comfortable when I think our medical community, who's grinding their butts off, we're indebted to them always, but I think we're more acutely aware of it right now. When they are able to figure out, whether it's through testing, a vaccine obviously is the end all wish. But I mean, if they are able to come up with some sort of a test where everyone can get tested, and then we realize actually there's a massive percentage of people that have had it,
right,
or do have it, and then we realize that the death rate is much, much less than we thought it was, while this is still this hideous, horrible thing, then maybe we then realize, okay, it isn't as drastically impacting us as it seemed. And if that's the case, then people kind of shrug and go, okay, well, maybe there is sort of this herd immunity, whatever. And I'm just thinking out loud here. And I'm not saying that's the case. I'm saying when somebody's able to tell me that that is the case or isn't, and we have some vaccine or some medicine that's treating this, you know, then I think ideally, hopefully, we go back to something that approximates what the world was in, you know, whatever month it was when things felt like they weren't this. But I don't know, man. It feels a long way off, which is not, I do look for the positive. It's just difficult to sell it at the moment.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. All right, last thing I'm going to do with you. I mentioned it earlier. I'm going to ask you for your five favorite Masters ever. Do you want to go back and forth with this, or do you want to just roll your five out?
Well, yeah. Are we ping ponging back? Are you going to give me yours?
Yeah, I got my five written down.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll start. I mean, you're the show host. What do you want to do? We can ping pong. I'll rip my five, and you rip your five.
Let's ping pong. I'll let you start. I'll let you throw one out there. If I have it on my list, I'll mention it as well.
97 for me is my favorite because it's the first one and it changed the course of the golf and my life because I hitched my wagon to the guy, so to speak. So I mean, 97, you know, what it represented, it wasn't just golf. It was, you know, societal. It was historical. It was all those things. It was the 100-year flood. And, you know, that to me is, I can't top it. And I mean, I could come up for reasons why there's others, but to me, there's no need to be cute. 97 is my favorite one.
Yeah. And this is your list. I feel like now, there's a lot of lists being made because there's nothing else to talk about. And people come mm-hmm. at you, you know, Max Holm and I started a separate podcast in this one that we do once a week. And people are so mad at our lists. And they always yell at us about how do you not have the 32 NCAA tournament in there. And like, well, I'm 36 years old, man. I mean, I unfortunately wasn't around watching those highlights. You know,
they didn't have one then either, which would have made it hard to do.
It would have been even harder. That's right. Yeah, so my number one, you know, we haven't said 86 yet, and I'm not going to say it for my number one because I'm being truthful to the process. My favorite Masters ever was 04. I was a left-handed golfer from East Texas. Phil was my guy. I looked up to him. I wanted to be like Phil Mickelson. I even sent a resume to the ASU golf coach when I was a junior in high school. Phil was my dude. 04, number one for me.
Okay. Well, that's on my list, but it's lower on my list. And two for me is 19. And the reason 19 is two for me is because one for me is 97. And if you'd have told me that the 21-year-old guy who laid waste to humanity would be at 43 with a bald spot, a fused back, and on the other side of a scandal of his own creation, would have been this remarkable underdog story that would create the loudest cheers I've ever heard at a golf course. If you'd have told me that that would have been possible, I would have told you you're out of your mind. And whatever it was that you were smoking, I would like a gross of it for my own personal recreation. So, you know, the sounds I heard that day, Shane, like Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. I watched that Nance call, which, by the way, he didn't do anything other than stop talking, but he was smart enough because he's Jim Nance to not talk for like 4 minutes. Like, that's goosebumps, man. That's absolute goosebumps. And him with Sam and him with Charlie,
the best.
That's why he did it. That's what he wanted to do. he wanted his kids to see him be the guy that they had heard about, and they got to. And so 19 is very close to 97, but it's number two for me.
So number two for me is 86. Now, I was 3 years old at the time, so obviously I wasn't watching it live. But I think it's probably the most rewatched old sporting event I've ever had in my life of any sport. I mean, I've watched it on TV. I have a DVR at the bottom of my DVR. My wife always yells at me to delete it. Now it's on YouTube. You can watch the final round. It is 86, Jack, Wild. Every shot was awesome. It was, I mean, how can it get better than that, especially if you grew up a Jack person at all? I mean, if you were a fan of the Bear, I mean, that was as good as it can get. And I feel like the finish is as good as it can get in golf with the way he did it. This is a little sidebar. I watched the 2017 Open a couple of days ago. I feel like the Jordan Spieth finish doesn't get enough credit. I don't think that people talk about the way he played after everything that happened on 13. Went birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie, par to finish, and he was losing.
Yeah, he was 6 under for five holes, right?
Like, yeah, it was. I think he was five. He was
five for four, six for five, whatever the hell he was. It was a joke what he did, and everybody gets mad about like how long it took to find the ball, blah blah blah. Like, I'm with you. Like, what he did, it was funny. We talked about that the other day at work because somebody mentioned Spieth and hit in the water on 12. I'm like, yeah, I get it. And I'm like, you know, when people want to talk about, like, oh, he won't be the same after that, I'm like, go look at what he did in the Open.
7 years
Kuchar
ago, yeah.
Great. Kuchar didn't do one thing wrong, and he didn't win. Like, it was nuts. But, all right, so 86 is two for you. 86 is three for me for all the reasons you said. For me, it was watching with my pop. My dad was a Jack guy. You know, back in the day, you were either a Jack guy or an Arnie guy. My dad was a Jack guy. And I watched the final round of the Masters with my dad. And, you know, I've talked a lot about my dad. He hadn't been here in a long time. He passed away when I was young. So I've gotten a chance through the years to know Jack a bit and talk to Jack and explain to him what that meant. And that's an incredible thing. Very few people will get that gift that I got to tell them how cool that was. Sidebar, the day Nicklaus made the hole in one in the par three, he came to interview on SportsCenter with me, and I joked with him on the way out. I'm like, hey, you got any magic left in the bag, old boy? And he's like, hey, how about a hole in one? And then he went out and he did it. And then I found out after the fact he had never had a hole in one at Augusta in anything, not in a competition, not in a practice round, not in the par three. But that day I'm kind of needling Jack about, yay, you got anything left in the bag? And then he went out and made a hole in one in the par three that day.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Tiger is, I think you and I are both in the same camp. The Tiger is the greatest golfer ever. I just feel like what he did for the run he had will never be matched again in this sport. It's just, golf's not supposed to be dominated this way. It's too hard to be dominated this way. Mm-hmm. And everybody is too good to beat all the time. But Jack's ability to do things like that, you know, you forget about 1998. He had a chance to win the Masters in 98.
I had a birdie putt on 16 to tie for the lead. He didn't make it, but he had a putt. He had a putt to tie.
He was 58 or 59 years old. The trivia that's that Jack and Tiger finished in the top 10. It's in the same event in 1998. It's just, it's wild. But I just feel like those things, Jack saying, oh, why don't I go make a hole in one? Or why don't I show you how to hit the putt when he did that exhibition and he makes the 80 footer? I feel like he's just always been able to do that. And I'm not sure I believe in magic, but when those things happen, I'm more convinced that magic is a real thing.
Yeah, there's just certain people that have that gift, you know, that there's an ability that they know they possess. And I mean, none of us will know what that feels like because we obviously don't. And that's what makes it rare. So that's three for me.
Three for you. I'm going to go 2011. I just remember it a lot. It's Schwartzel wins it. Birdies his last four holes. Talk about a finish, but there was all these guys that had a chance to win. Jason Day was there. Adam Scott was there. Of course, Adam Scott gets his Masters a couple years later. But I feel like in terms of excitement and nobody knowing what the hell was going to happen or who the hell was going to win it, that one was so much fun to watch from start to finish. You know, every Masters, when you rewatch it a couple years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, there are great moments that you forgot about. 2011
completely
has 400 of those in it.
Well, Adam Scott had the lead on the 16th hole, I want to say. I believe he birdied the 16th hole, and hard in, did nothing wrong, and still lost. That's if you have the lead on 16 and you birdie, you're going to win. And he didn't because of what Schwartzel did. So that's a great one. It didn't make my list, but that's a great point of things you forget. Four for me is already on your list, and that's Phil. The great call from Jim Nantz. Is it his time? Yes. The moment with Bones, the patrons all fists in the air. And people, speaking of what you forget, like he hadn't won a major, and you know, certainly that had gotten plenty of play to that point. But there was like this suggestion he was incapable of it, which was ridiculous. And of course, since then, he's got a pile of them. But you know, that as a singular moment to grab it, that putt for me, that 2004 is four on my list.
It's a good one. I've got a just a hat tip to people that yell at us about stuff, just because it would have been a lot of fun to be there. 54, Hogan and Snead in a playoff would have been pretty awesome. I would have been, you know, when you're talking about history, it's
oh my God.
I mean, I would have parked my chair on 16 early. I wouldn't have run, but I would have done some massive speed walking.
Briskly. Brisk walking, not it's like a, I always call it the world's largest pool deck. There is no running.
So I'm just gonna go 54 because again, when you look at the names, and I always say the names, you know, they're all caps because they're, you know, everybody's legacy grows as they get older and move on to another life. That is one that just in terms of entertainment and the top two guys and all that, 54 would have been a lot. It would have been very, very cool to have been a part of that Masters.
Well, I limited it to the ones that I'm lucky enough to have some kind of recollection of, and I wanted to close with one that I felt like probably wouldn't make a lot of people's lists, but it remains as good a finish as we have seen. And that is, you alluded to it earlier, actually, 2013. Go back and look at the people that were involved. Tiger finished top five. Jason Day was in the mix. Angel Cabrera. Well, first of all, Adam Scott birdies 18. Come on, you Aussie, looking for his first major. He birdies 18. Cabrera just misses a birdie on 17. All right, I'm talking just misses. Go back and look at the video. It goes over the lip. Now he needs birdie on 18. It's raining. He pipes a drive and absolutely stuffs his approach. He starts walking after it the second after the ball leaves the club face. He's walking and talking the whole way.
It's his son's on the back. So awesome. Huh? His son was on the bag too, right?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And he's just like walking after it because he just staked it, makes birdie. We're running out of light. Doesn't matter because Adam Scott's getting ready to bust one down 10. And he makes a gorgeous birdie on 10 in the playoffs win. And it's like that iconic shot in the darkness with the rain where he's kind of golf Jesus and he's standing there and he's jumping. If you remember the shot from behind Adam Scott.
So good.
The light. And here's the reason, here's what I want you to think about Angel Cabrera. He's a fascinating case study because he didn't play tons and tons of great golf. All right. I mean, he's, you know, he's a really good player, obviously, but he's got a combination. All right. If you're going to win two majors and you're going to win the U.S. Open, you're going to win the Masters and you're going to win it at Oakmont and you're going to win Augusta, obviously, then that means you are in the company of two men, Jack Nicklaus and Ben Hogan, who won U.S. Opens at Oakmont and the Masters.
Wow.
And he won it at Oakmont. Go back and look what he did. Tiger was chasing him. Furyk was chasing him. He had the lead on 17. He has a cigarette. He chucks it down on the ground, old school style. Hits an absolute bomb off the tee. Hits his approach on the green. Makes his putt. Makes his par. Gets out of Dodge. And like everybody was crumbling because Oakmont makes you crumble. And he didn't blink, man. And that dude, like, I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
You can say anything.
Like, there's a line in the movie Snatch about there's two types of balls in this world. Big brave balls. Okay. Cabrera's got big brave balls.
Yes, he does.
And he showed them to you at Oakmont and the Masters. So he's on the list of Hogan, Nicklaus and Cabrera. And that's who Scott beat that day with a putt on a 10th hole in a playoff. That's why 2013 is my fifth on the list.
And it might be the most photogenic final hour ever. I mean, you talked about the picture with the green jacket and his arms are raised out. We'll tweet that out when the podcast comes out for people to see if you forgot about it. But the fist pump, Adam Scott's bicep looked like he just does curls like 2.5 hours a day, every day. Arms were huge. He's obviously this really strapping, good-looking Australian. And you said it, a guy, not a great putter over his career, made two unreal putts and the Cabrera iron in there that was like, ah, I got it. No big deal. I'm fine. Cabrera also on 18. Remember the one he won where he was 150 yards in the trees and he punched out, hit a tree, kicked into the fairway? That is one of the worst rewatchable Masters if you have any fondness for Kenny Perry, because my goodness. Bogey 17.
Yeah, that's pretty gross, man. That's pretty gross. And that's you know, that's what history will forget if you don't have the kind of encyclopedic recall. You're like, you just remember Cabrera won. Well, you don't. I mean, Kenny Perry was supposed to win that, and he didn't.
Supposed to win it. My last one, 95, Crenshaw, second Masters, wins it, Penick the week after, all that. Hadn't won in a year. The reaction on 18, hands in his head. I'm a romantic at heart. It was one of those moments that aren't supposed to happen in sports. You're not supposed to have things written that way. And the fact that it was penned for Ben Crenshaw and he wins the Masters, you know, after, you know, one of his best friends passes away the week before. I was moved, even though I was a young kid, and I love going back and kind of following that one again. Plus, anytime you get a chance to watch Ben Crenshaw putt for 4.5 hours, you should probably do it, because it's pretty silky.
It is that, and that's a great. I mean, that's a great one. But the beauty of any Masters list is that each person's list would reflect his or her own, you know, personal recollections. So that's what makes, you know, I think that's what makes remembering this event more than any other so worthwhile, because it takes you back to that place. And I think if you like the game, if you love the game, then, you know, it's a place you love going back in your mind. That's for sure.
Well, I appreciate it. I held you a little longer than I told you I would. So thanks for breaking all that down. Last thing I just wanted to ask, how long was the brainstorming session before you came up with SV Pod as your new podcast name?
Well, like a lot of things with us, somebody said, what should we call it? I'm like, well, my initials are SVP, right? They're like, yeah, I'm like, just put OD after that. Like, it can't be SVPOD. That doesn't have a very good connotation. So let me just call it SV Pod. And then after the fact, somebody suggested it should have been called SVP Has Pod. Whatever.
I like the simplicity of the way you went with it.
Well, I mean, it's as we're hope illustrating here, it's a fun format for people that are, you know, get on the, like we had Justin Thomas last week, just get on the phone and chit or whatever, and just catch up, you know, fill in the blanks on things, particularly now, because God knows we're all in search of something to fill the moments until we can get back to it. I'm bummed that I'll get to see you in person. I always enjoy Pros and Paths, and I'm hopeful that I get to see you guys do your thing. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be, certainly June and, at Wingfoot. I don't see how that's possible, but I hope that they can sort it out somewhere. I've heard rumors of West Coast stuff, but I mean, whatever. Everybody will figure it out. I just hope we get some major championship golf somewhere down the road.
Yeah, sports when they return, I feel like we're going to be big fans of, maybe even bigger than we were before. I get a sense that we're going to be pouncing. That is the thing. I keep telling my buddies, I just miss knowing that at 8 p.m. when I'm on the couch, I can watch a Raptors game, or I can watch, you know, a tennis match happening somewhere else in the world, or I can wake up early on Friday and know the European Tour is going to be played for the 45 minutes that I'm up feeding my son. You know, those are the things.
Right. Give me some Smurfit European Open, man. Like, give me anything, right? They are our greatest connector. I mean, look, you're in it, I'm in it. So, I mean, we're sports, whatever. I started to say apologists. There's nothing to apologize for, but this is how we make our living. But I don't think there's any doubt, and if there had been any doubt, that this time is proving it, that what people turn to when things are sideways is sports. Always have. They're the greatest unifier we have, and absent sports right now, I feel like that's what makes people feel so kind of lost. You know, like, you're right. Like, at 8 o'clock, there's not a Knicks game. There's not a Lakers game late night, or if you're out on the West Coast on your time, whatever, prime time. I mean, everybody knows what I'm talking about here. Just absent those things, those mile markers, right? I'm supposed to be at Augusta, so are you, and we're not. It just kind of leaves us all trying to figure it out. And I mean, in the meantime, I guess we just all need to try to do what we're supposed to do, stay away from each other, try to, you know, try to knock this thing down so that we got something it feels like what we used to know on the other side of it. You know what I mean? That's what I keep coming back to.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know what? I haven't felt scared or nervous throughout this more than I did when you begged for a Knicks game. That's not when we get to that point, you know, things are dire. Hey, I just want to watch the Knicks play basketball. You're like, man, this is not a good situation. Scott, I appreciate the time. Thanks as always. I know it's a bummer that we don't get matches this week, but thanks for just chatting about it a little bit. I think people enjoy it.
I look forward to these conversations with you, and let's hope next time it's face to face somewhere on or close to the grounds of the Augusta National. Stay well until we see each other. All right, brother.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. A big thanks to Scott Van Pelt for joining. Big thanks to you for listening. Just a final reminder, wash your hands, stay safe, follow all of the rules that you're being told to follow. I know following rules isn't something we love to do as Americans, but just do it. Do it for somebody else. Do it for a parent or an uncle or an aunt or yourself or your kids, whatever. Just be smart, be selfless, and send a text to somebody you haven't talked to in a while. That's my new thing. I've been doing that. Now is every day I'll text a friend of mine that I haven't talked to in a few months. Hey, how you doing? Thinking of you. How you guys holding up? What's new? And I'm just trying to reach out to people because I talk to the same people all the time. It's my wife and my kid and my dog. One of those isn't even a person. It's just a dog. But I will say Harlow, great conversationalist. Love chatting with Harlow about stuff. Send a text. Call your parents. Call your loved ones. Stay safe. We'll be back later this week with another Clubhouse podcast. The Clubhouse with Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.